You are listening to This Podcast Could Have Been an Email, presented by Berkshire Community College.
Welcome to This Podcast Could Have Been an Email. Jonah, great to see you.
Nice seeing you as well. Happy February.
It has been a really bad 2026.
Yeah, it's been terrible. Yeah, across the board.
I mean, weather-wise, it's either freezing, or it snows.
Yeah.
It's kind of messy and gross.
I know people will be surprised to learn this, but I'm going to talk about chickens for a second. And how many times do we have to take Vaseline to the wattles and the combs of our chickens so they don't get frostbite? Wild.
I literally knew every word that you just used. I have no idea what you just said. We're very, very pleased to have Daryl Shreve, who is the director of recreation and our Patterson facility here at BCC with us. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, see, we're starting the show with a real upper, just how bad the year is. Well, hey, welcome, Daryl.
Also, because you're our guest, so we're like, oh, here we go. That was a joke, folks. I'm kidding. No, it's 2026. It's a tough year so far, but
I mean, I'm like a super optimistic person, and I am happy. I just, let's be honest, it's been a terrible year.
It's true. It could get better.
Yeah, it probably will.
And here's the spin with Daryl as our guest. It actually already is better.
It is a little bit better.
So there?
I started out with like a smackdown, being like, well, Daryl's here, a terrible show. And then turn it around. Yeah, we're very schizophrenic on this podcast.
Well, yeah, so. This is absolutely true. So for those of you who don't know Daryl, Daryl, maybe just a quick introduction of who you are and what you do here at BCC.
Who am I? Oh, mm-hmm. Real existential questions to start off.
If you can work in chickens in any way.
I can help.
I would love the chicken angle. I've tried to get on the chicken list, the egg list.
I know.
It's on. I think I'm on the board.
You are actually on the board. There is a board.
Hasn't produced any eggs for me.
Nor have my chickens. So.
I got eggs from Jonah once. But when at the time that I got eggs from Jonah, my older daughter had a boyfriend who also had eggs. And we had so many fresh eggs at our house. Yeah. And then they broke up. And I didn't get it. And now I don't get fresh eggs.
No,
the eggs or the couple?
Well played. Elsie, can we get a dab?
Ladies and gentlemen, we got it.
All right, Daryl, back to you.
Oh, yes. Yes, we were talking about me and not chickens. I feel like this podcast has trouble with that, getting away from chickens.
That's because that's my life. I can't help it.
Yeah. Well, I guess other than being the director of recreation at Patterson, I'm father of a first grader and a fourth grader, so that makes me a coach of many sports that I don't always know much about. I run as a hobby, I officiate basketball as a hobby, and I've been at BCC for, June will be 7 years.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I also have two daughters, we have that in common, and mine are leaving to go to Italy for 9 days today.
Whoa.
Wow.
I know,
School trip?
Yeah, school trip. And they're going all over southern Italy. These children live charmed lives.
Yeah.
I'm also very jealous. I've never been to Italy. It's probably at the top
of
my list.
Yeah.
Daryl and I also have in common that we officiate basketball. In fact, on Saturday, the CEO of the YMCA called me and asked for Daryl's number. And then about 10 minutes later, it was like, hey, will you come ref a basketball game with me? Which I did. And I hadn't refed probably in 15 years.
Oh, wow. How'd it go?
Did it show? Was it evident?
Oh, God, absolutely showed. Yeah. I mean, some of the rules have changed, and I didn't, like, now we shoot, people aren't going to care about this, but we shoot two free throws on 5 fouls and a quarter. I had no idea.
Let's cut to commercial break. I'm kidding.
It went fine. It was fun. It was nice to give back a little bit, and you know, they were like fifth and sixth graders, so I was able to fake it.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. So what initially brought you, what made you interested in the role here at BCC?
So I've been a recreation professional like my whole career. I started out, you know, if you go way back to my undergraduate days, I remember new student orientation and there's all the tables set up and I'm walking through and one of the tables is like, hey, do you like sports? Would you be interested in like reffing, you know, sports? And I was like, oh, yeah. And they're like, we got to admit, it only pays $6.20 an hour. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to get paid for this? That sounds great. And sort of ever since then, I've been in the recreation field, mostly working at four-year institutions. So I've had time at Arizona State, Boston College, Illinois State. And my wife is from the Berkshires. We met in Boston when I was working at Boston College. And So our family started, you know, we'd been out to the Berkshires a whole bunch. I really like it out here. We wanted to get closer to one family or another. And I always say it was like a choice of my family in Nebraska or the Berkshires. And I was all for the Berkshires. So it was kind of a unanimous vote. And we came out here. The one problem with being like a recreational professional or like lots of jobs in higher ed, you do need to be a little bit flexible about where you want to go. So that's why I was sort of all over the country, which in my 20s was great. But as you get a little bit older and you're setting down roots, then you're like, well, what's available in the area? And right. I really thought I'd be out of the career path. And then this job at BCC was posted. I was like, well, that seems ideal.
Yeah.
Though having worked at, you know, four-year schools, the reputation for community colleges, two-year schools, or even smaller schools in general is you don't really know what they expect out of a recreation department. So I was like, are they going to ask me to like teach a bunch of spin classes or like, what is the job actually going to be? And when I got to campus and met with everybody and I saw it was really aligning with what I thought recreation should be, I was like, oh, this seems perfect and probably where I could spend my next 30 years. So
it's kind of funny. In career development counseling, there's a theory that's called happenstance theory. So like there are all these career development theories where you're supposed to be very intentional about what you're going to do. And then there's happenstance theory. And my kind of belief and philosophy is that's the real theory, right? Like you just have to find the right opportunity at the right time. There's serendipity and you can do all of the things that you want to do to align yourself for the perfect job. And that is very unlikely to happen. When you allow yourself to kind of walk through the doors that are open, their possibilities are endless.
Yeah. I mean, I feel super fortunate. It's been great being here. And you know, I wasn't really sure what I was going to get. And I think we'll maybe get to this in a minute. But when I first started, my focus was year one. Let's just figure out what this job is and what I should be doing here. And 9 months into that, I felt like I had a good grasp and what I wanted to do next. And then COVID hits and our facility was shut down for just about 3 full years. So that sort of took a back seat. And so we've been open again for now a little bit over 3 years. And it's been very cool to see the transformation and what we've been able to do in that time.
Yeah, that's really exciting. I think a great entrance into a break. And we'll unpack that more after this.
You're listening to This Podcast Could Have Been an Email from Berkshire Community College.
Looking for a place to move, play, and feel your best in the Berkshires? Welcome to Patterson Fieldhouse at BCC, your community hub for fitness, recreation, and connection. Whether you're lifting in the fitness center, running the indoor track — there is no indoor track — shooting hoops, playing pickleball, or enjoying the seasonal pool, Patterson offers something for every age and every ability. With affordable memberships and day passes, it's open to the entire Berkshire community, and it's free for BCC students and employees. Get active, stay active, be part of something bigger. Visit berkshirecc.edu/Patterson and learn more today.
All right, welcome back to This Podcast Could Have Been an Email with our guest, Daryl Shreve, who is the Director of Recreational Services here at Berkshire Community College. Daryl, you left the last segment talking about coming to BCC and in year one, trying to figure out what you were doing, and then a pandemic happens.
Yeah. So I think it was, you know, nobody at the college really knew what to do and how to manage things. And so we did, and with Patterson, some, you know, socially distant programming and some, you know, online programming and things. We tried a little bit of everything to keep people engaged. And then it was really like starting all over again when the building like reopened, to just figure out, can we just get our legs under us, get a staff, do all of that. And for the first year, that was really the focus. And just getting people to know that we were back open. Cause I think, you know, people had a 9 month, 1 year window on the pandemic, and for us to be closed beyond that, I think people kind of forgot that we existed to a degree. So it's been the first year we were open, got our operations, and then we, you know, partnered with the marketing team and Jonah and started to get the word out. And we just sent out our data from the first half of FY26 on our membership, the number of students that are visiting, the membership income that we've had. And essentially from the first year we were open till now, we've pretty much doubled almost every metric, which is pretty crazy to see. And we haven't seen the growth tail off yet. It's continuing to be an upward trend when you compare to the month the previous year, which is really, really interesting. So we're...
Remind me when we reopened.
We reopened April 2023.
So we've talked on the podcast a little bit about how our enrollment trends since the fall of 2022, we're up about 50%
yep.
in enrollment from fall of 2022. So there is a growth, but it sounds like you're up another 50% on top of that. So enrollment growth must be part of the activity. What else do you attribute to?
I mean, I think a lot of it is to do with marketing. And then we actually, I was meeting with Jonah and Akinyemi and Schwa last week. And, yeah. and I think there was an interesting observation because I went out and we did an expo, a health and wellness expo that the Berkshire Eagle put on. And I just had a table skirt that I use on campus that says Patterson Recreation on it. And I was like, are people going to know?
Yeah.
And the name recognition for Patterson was shocking just in the community.
Great.
We were in Dalton at the stationery factory, and the number of people there are like, oh, BCC. And I was like, it doesn't say BCC anywhere.
Yeah.
And as Jonah reflected, he's like, it probably has to do with all the vaccines that happened at Patterson and the amount of the community that had to come here. And so I think that a lot of that recognition, and now when we're seeing marketing, people are like, oh, I know that place. I'm familiar with it. I was there not too long ago.
Yeah.
I mean,
it didn't dawn on me at the time until you mentioned it. I was like, oh, yeah, why would they know Patterson? I've lived here my entire life, and I've never heard the word Patterson before, right? But there was a period of time where we had like tens of thousands, 20, 30s. I think it was like close to 100,000 people walked through those doors, especially during like in January of 2021. It was a terrifying time, and we had some of the most the folks who had the highest health risk coming through those doors and saving some of their lives going through that process. And like it was everything said Patterson Fieldhouse at Berkshire Community College.
If you are a newer member to our community or you're just a listener because you're a friend of one of ours and you listen to this, Google search Yo-Yo Ma Patterson Fieldhouse.
Yeah, that went international. I was up for a couple of weeks having the field calls from Japan being like, can we please use this video in our next piece? So Yo-Yo Ma got his COVID shot at BCC, and then he took out his oboe. Kidding, it was a cello. And he played for the audience, and it went viral. So that was fun. I actually did a presentation in Florida, not by choice. I don't like the state of Florida. I gave a presentation about what it would like to have a viral moment. And it all happened at Patterson. So, yeah, I do think that's something to say because, again, went to Taconic High School down the street, and I'd never heard of Patterson. So.
I mean, Mr. Ma, if you listen to our podcast, which I assume you do, and you'd ever like to be a guest to feel like you're internal enough to do so, just reach out to Jonah directly, and we'll get you on.
Could be our new mascot, Yo-Yo Ma, right? We could just have a new mascot be Yo-Yo Ma. That might be a good idea.
How cool would it be if somebody gets this to him and he ends up on our podcast?
And I do know where he lives, so. Anyway.
It's not creepy at all.
Not at all.
I actually think one of the things that's interesting about this entire conversation, Daryl and I both were kind of in the basketball community here, and some of the other parents that I knew through that who grew up here knew BCC because of Patterson. Like they would come and work out here.
Yep.
And so I think it's been a thing for a while, but it is such a great example of how we are a college and we serve our students, but we're also really ingrained in the community. So Patterson's role as the place to get COVID shots at the beginning of the vaccines being out is a great example of that. Daryl, maybe tell us about some of the other ways that your team is really engaged with the external community.
So I think that it's very interesting when you think about the population that comes to Patterson. I'm like, we can have a basketball partner with the YMCA and have a basketball tournament over MLK weekend, or you can see an adult soccer or volleyball league where we're serving an older population or a more adult population. And then if you walk through Patterson this morning, we got a bunch of pickleballers on the court, you know, doing their pickleball thing. And then we have a host of high school sports and events that happen on the turf field. So really, if you look at any demographic within Berkshire County, they're engaging with Patterson at some time in some way, which I think is pretty unique. I talked about the differences in my career being at four-year institutions that are always internally focused. That has been the biggest shift for me being at BCC and trying to find that balance of how do we work our students and make sure that they're a central focus, but also have that community aspect, which is in many ways as important with what we're doing in our space in particular on campus.
I mean, you're spot on. When we moved here, the first thing we enrolled our kids in was a soccer program through the YMCA, and it was here on the field. It was before the turf field was open. So it was out on the grass field. Yeah. You run kind of the Berkshires has a lot of summer camps for youth, but the one that we do at Patterson in conjunction with the YMCA is the most affordable, I think, option for families in the Berkshires. You host most of the high school football games for Pitt, right? Am I right about that?
Yeah. Taconic and PHS were the home field for us. So all their football games, number of soccer and lacrosse games for both schools also happen here as well. So,
and then as you get into kind of people in their 20s, they're coming to school here, they're using the gym, they stay as gym members into their 30s and 40s. And when I go down to the gym, and I often run into Jonah there when I am, there's like a, is it Zumba? Is that the right one?
Pilates is the big
Pilates.
One.
Pilates is super popular. Yeah.
I'm sorry to my colleagues who go and do that. But you know,
they're not listening.
And pickleball. I mean, you really do see the use of it's kind of a cradle to crane type of organization.
Yeah. I think it's really special and unique. And our students are also, I think it's a cool opportunity for them to experience new things because, like you just said, Pilates, that's the pitch line that I give to every student. I was like, this is free for you here now. If you're going to go post BCC life, you're probably paying a pretty penny to get access to some of these things.
Right.
So try it out. If you don't know what it is, this is the time to find out if it's something for you or not. And that's also a pitch to all of our faculty and staff members who should be coming down and taking advantage of some of these things.
Yeah, so tell your friends who aren't listening.
But Yo-Yo Miles, he'll spread the word.
Yo-Yo Miles definitely spread the word. I'll make sure that happens. But tell your friends that they should definitely utilize the services at Patterson Fieldhouse. It is what puts the community in Berkshire Community College.
And with that, we'll take another break. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Could have been an email.
We'll be right back after this.
As Clueless famously reminds us, so okay, you're probably going, is this like a Noxzema commercial? It's not. It's the State of Work Summit at Berkshire Community College, and we have three upcoming AI Summit series that you don't want to miss, where leaders, educators, and innovators come together to talk about what's next for the workforce. From AI in the C-suite to real-world strategies transforming industries right here in the Berkshires, these summits deliver practical insights you can use immediately. Because the future of work, it's not clueless. Join the conversation. Build your network. Lead what's next. Visit berkshirecc.edu/summit and register for one of the three upcoming series today.
And we're back with Daryl Shreve. You are listening to this podcast. Could have been an email. And one thing that Jonah pointed out during some of our breaks is that in the last three episodes, we've had people talk about the importance of orientation.
Yeah.
I'm a former orientation director, so that was like kind of cool for me to hear. And it's interesting. This may be a personality test, but some of my favorite colleagues on campus talk about a commencement as their favorite day of the year.
Yeah.
Orientation is my favorite day of the year. I love orientation. Like, it's the beginning of something. It's optimism. It's the future. Anything is possible at orientation day. And I feel like there's a real call to action for us to kind of think about how we use those moments to put people onto the path to meet their goals. We were talking about, you know, career development earlier. What do you do day one that will position you to do the things that you want to do kind of later on in your journey as a college student and then ultimately when you're looking for jobs because you're moving to where your wife's family lives.
Right. Yeah. And I also love orientation and just like what it represents for me. And this might not be agreed upon among the campus, but to me, I love it so much because the work on my end is done at that point.
Yeah.
We've set up the programs, we've set the schedules, we've evaluated, we've done everything. And now it's just making relationships with the students and like executing, which is the fun part, in my opinion, versus like commencement, end of the year. But we know that we've already been starting a plan for the next semester.
Yep.
We're evaluating the programs.
Yep.
We're doing all this other stuff. And that's a heavy work time. I think the start of the semester, that's like the energizing, like, okay, we've done all that groundwork to make this successful. And now for the next 3 months, we just get to go and execute those things.
So. Yeah, I think we just have to think about ways to elevate the importance of orientation. You know, I don't have the same experiences you all had in orientation at MCLA. I was terrified. And I was just like overwhelmed. And this is coming from me, who has the huge personality and the large ego, right? I was overwhelmed and terrified. But it can be a touch point that people look back on and be like, that changed my life. And like every single student that participates in our orientations, we have hundreds of them each semester. Like, we need to think about ways to make sure that their experience going through, if it's at Patterson in the fall or if it's in the cafeteria in the spring, what does that experience look like? And elevating it, being like, you know, this is an opportunity to really change one of these students' lives or many of these students' lives. And like, how can we manifest that for them with our programming?
I mean, I actually think we all have a moment in our orientation. One of the things about orientation that's interesting in general is, when we think of orientation, we think of it as a day.
Yeah.
So we have a program, we call it an orientation. Yep. At four-year institutions, residential, that might be a four-day, it might be a week-long right. process. But really, orientation is a process.
Yep.
From the point that you kind of make the choice that you're going to go to whatever college that you're going to go to the point that you feel like you're a member of that community. It's actually almost like an anthropological kind of thing. Like, you're leaving one tribe yeah. and you're joining another yeah. one. So your identity changes if we get it right? Like, the burden is on us as a college to say BCC is now a part of who I am. Mm-hmm. And if we don't get that right, then that never becomes a part of the person's identity. They don't change. They might not stay in their classes. They don't feel like they're a member of our community. And I think orientation is really kind of a psychological thing. So when you say that you were terrified, I was terrified. Yeah, I remember being in my residence hall room and like breaking down in tears when my roommate wasn't there.
Same.
And my favorite kind of student affairs researcher is a woman named Nancy Schlossberg. And she talks about transitions. And she says that all of us have a crisis. And for some of us, that crisis can be something really, really big. Like, we lose a parent or I don't think whatever big thing you might think of. For some of us, it's just like you go to college, and I went to college and I wanted to play basketball, and I'm not going to tell this whole story, but I found out pretty quickly that wasn't going to happen for me. And my identity was kind of wrapped up in being a basketball player, and I had a crisis. Like, who am I?
Yeah.
What I think orientation is really important is, if we find people in those moments of kind of crisis, identity crisis, whatever, and we help them grow from it, that's kind of an adaptive moment, according to Schlossberg. And then we grow and we're stronger. If a person doesn't, it can be maladaptive and it can actually be really negative. And that's what I think our work I'm on my soapbox here. I think this is where it's really important as student affairs professionals, but really anyone who works at a college, to know the moment that you meet with a student, especially early on in the semester, for you may seem small.
Mm-hmm.
But for them, could be the biggest moment of their kind of life at that point. And this is heavy, right? There's a lot of pressure on us every day to bring our A game and get it right so that students stay in college and make their own life better, make the life of their family better, make the life of their community better.
And to speak to that, and Jonah, you did a great job just outlining the outline in segment three, Adam's soapbox. You just know to set aside 3.5 minutes for that. It's great. But I remember being at Boston College and ran the intramural sports program. And, you know, we've got 100 basketball teams, soccer teams, whatever. And I had a flirt, I think, 60 student workers who ref the sports. And after graduation, you know, 2 years later, a student came back, and, you know, you see students all the time who come back to campus and are just, and he stopped and said to me, he's like, listen, I don't know if I ever thanked you, but, and I'm like, I just put on sports programs. And he was like, if it wasn't for like reffing soccer at Boston College, I was going to transfer after my sophomore year.
Yeah.
Like, it was the only thing that connected me here to this college. And in a BCC, we see the same thing. I just saw a student who's now at UMass, comes back during break to shoot hoops. And we had a club basketball experience here. He went through a season, really enjoyed it. And UMass did not have a club basketball team until he got there. And now he's helped form that club basketball team. And he's telling me about all the tournaments that they're going to and things during the start of this semester. So it's really cool.
Yeah. It's really cool.
That's like literally the work. That's like the work of retention, like just in the persistence and grit and determination. But like, it comes from those simple, and we always say this, obviously, right? Like, those meaningful moments. But yeah, that's great. I do think, I also, they don't have a club basketball at UMass, really?
UMass is is, I mean, UMass for a reason sometimes. Not, but I know they're a partner of ours. You know,
this broadcast brought to you by UMass Amherst. UMass, where your dreams can come true.
I think the tough thing about the work is, and some of the people who work here have like the good fortune that they do see the outcome, or at least they see an outcome, right? I think one of the tough things about many of our jobs is for every story like the one Daryl just told, there are 50 or 100 or 500 other students that your work touched.
Mm-hmm.
It was incredibly meaningful for them. They don't understand it in the moment. It's like a metacognition thing where they think about it later and it's like, oh, that was an important moment in my life. And they may say something to you, but they may not. The rewards are not the same as they are in other things. That's the thing about commencement is like you physically see a student you worked with walk across the stage. Yeah. You're like, that's amazing. I played a part in that. I'm so happy for that person. Orientation is a little tougher. You're hopeful. You're like, I hope we've set this up and that the person is going to go do their things. Anyway, I love it. I think it's amazing. I think it's like such a powerful gift to get to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's for commencement for me is the opportunity to see the outcome of a good day's work and seeing like the success of the thing. But like orientation is the opportunity and how that can then, you know, manifest into something greater. It's just it's why we all love working at Berkshire Community College, the premier community college in the Commonwealth. We have to take another short break. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to this podcast. Could have been an email from Berkshire Community College.
Berkshire Community College is shaping its next chapter. After a nationwide search, 4 exceptional finalists have advanced in BCC's presidential search, and now the campus community is invited to be part of the process. Meet the candidates during on-campus forums happening now through March. Learn about their vision, ask questions, and help shape the future of the first community college in the Commonwealth. Visit berkshirecc.edu/presidential-search. to view candidate materials and forum details. Berkshire Community College, powered by the Berkshires, made for what's next.
All right, welcome back to this podcast. Could have been an email. Daryl, a couple of things that you've been involved with here that have been really, really successful and popular with our staff, the fitness battle and the cornhole tournament.
It's wild. And this is a thing coming from schools where it's like play big sports, you do the 11v11 soccer and whatever, and that's what's successful. And we've tried, like when I was at Arizona State, it was like make a cornhole thing happen and nobody wants to come to it and we couldn't get students to go. So I've kind of been biased against those types of events, in at least for programming at the college level. And then COVID happens and we got to do something. And Burke's Fitness Battle sort of was born from that. What can we do to keep people active even if they can't come to our facility? And people, I don't know if it's the friendly competition or if it's some accountability or, you know, I don't know what it is, but it's been, you know, when we don't have it in a semester, we hear about it. Hear about it. Yep. So, and Michael's kind of taken that over, and it goes really well. And we have a consistent following with Burke's Fitness Battle and sort of very similar with our summer cornhole league, which truly was born from a summer orientation. We were doing a little like welcome and I just, you want to do something visual. So I brought a cornhole board up. We were in the connector and Alex Devon and Dylan Newell just like kept throwing the bags and they're like, I didn't know we had these. Like you should, I was like, okay, we could set it up. And I just like invited the campus in. The turnout was overwhelming. I was like, and it was just supposed to be a one day thing.
It is like both of these things are really cool because they build community. You get to know people. I've been on a number of different fitness battles with different groups of people. I've actually met some people playing cornhole. So, you know, I think it just kind of shows that the importance of having recreation on a college campus and what it provides. We have a really nice recreation facility considering the size public community college that we are. Daryl, just a bit about you. I know you're a runner. Tell us about your journey.
So running was something I swore I would never do because I identified as a basketball player. I'm like, I'm going to get my cardio in through basketball as long as my knees work. And then for some reason, got into running a little bit. And then once you like find out the number of shoes that are available and how many different ways you can style, and it just becomes like a part of your life. And so now I'm running about 6 days a week. I've done a couple of marathons and I'm looking forward to, my wife's going to do the Boston Marathon in April.
Whoa.
So looking very much forward to going in and cheering her on. So
that's really great.
Very fun.
How's your running?
It's good. So I've had some leg issues recently. Just had some veins ripped out for fun. Just thought it'd be interesting. And so it hasn't inhibited me. I still do a 5K every week, but it's treadmill running. So I hate treadmill running. But it's been pretty good, actually. I've gotten pretty good at it. And yeah, and now I've taken my Goldador running. And it's wildly fun. Oh, running with Mighty Goldador. He's so much faster than me. We have great time. We've really great time. But we did that over a couple weekends ago. So
yeah, it's a good thing. I've had a good journey with running. I was a lot like Daryl. Started out not really wanting to run. I ran in high school and did it to stay in shape for basketball. And then got back into running. I've run 3 marathons. I'm kind of on the other side of it. I'm not as interested in running marathons anymore, but I typically do a half or two every year.
Wow.
Not as fast as I once was. But it's to me, running is such a nice analogy to the entire conversation that we've had. Running is about community.
Yeah.
Runners are the nicest people you'll ever meet in the entire world. I like to run with other people. Actually, Daryl and I have run together over in the past. It's a nice way to get to know people. I think that you can join groups, you can do all of these kind of great things, but ultimately, whatever your goal is, if it's to run a mile, it's to run a 5K, it's to run a 10K, it's all about taking the first step, and you whatever it is that you can do the day that you start, you're building the progress for what's going to happen in the future, and the kind of connection to that and orientation and whatever your goals are in life come pretty easily. So thanks, everybody. This has been a really fun show. Daryl, appreciate you and your time. I'm sure that there are people who will listen to this who are going to want to get interested in some of the programs that you run. How do we get in touch with you?
I would say the easiest way, just stop down to Patterson.
Yeah.
It's right there. But you can always shoot me an email or catch me in the hall. I'm usually trying to find donuts and student engagement. So
you're listening to this podcast. Could have been an email from Berkshire Community College. Thank you all so much and have a lovely rest of your February. Special thanks to my co-host, Adam Klepetar, for carrying the weight of this podcast on his shoulders. Each recording like Atlas, though without the shrug. Special thanks to Daryl Shreve, who doesn't know that every time I type his name, I accidentally spell it as Darley and have to edit it each and every time. Also, unrelated, go support Patterson Fieldhouse. It's free for students and employees. Thanks, as always, to Alzi Mercado for keeping this little engine that could chugging along, and to Dave Cachet at PCTV for distributing our feelings to the wide world. Finally, special thanks to you, dear listener. It warms the dark places of our black hearts back to beating beatifically because you listen to this podcast, and we love you for it. My name is Jonah Sykes, and thank you for listening to this podcast. Could have been an email from Berkshire Community College.